The animal kingdom is rife with tales of jealousy, promiscuity, and incestuous affairs. From the humble slime mold to the voracious lioness, mating strategies range from the bizarre to the downright dangerous. Now there's a Dr. Ruth for the animal world to answer questions about sex in the wild. Olivia Judson is author of the book Dr. Tatiana's Sex Advice to All Creation, the definitive guide to the evolutionary biology of sex. Among the creatures she counsels is the small green spoonworm.
Dear Dr. Tatiana, there's been a frightful accident. I was happily sitting in my usual spot at the bottom of the sea when I felt an itch on my nose. Being a green spoonworm, I don't have arms and I couldn't scratch. So I sniffed, and I inhaled my husband. I've tried sneezing, but he hasn't reappeared. Is there anything I can do to get him back from too much heavy breathing near Malta?
Well, what happened here?
Well, it's a wonderful story. The green spoonworm has one of the largest known size differences between male and female, with the male is actually 200,000 times smaller than the female. It's as if a human male were no larger than the eraser on the end of a pencil. And whether or not you become a male or female green spoonworm depends on whether you meet a female during your first 3 weeks of life. So if you're traveling through the seas and you happen to meet a female, then you will become male and you will spend your whole life in her reproductive tract, fertilizing eggs, regurgitating sperm through your mouth. If you fail to meet a female, then you will settle on the seafloor and you will become female yourself, and you will grow to be a large organism that tries to attract little minute husbands.
Dr. Tatiana, where are some of the more bizarre places that animals choose to procreate?
Well, one of the most peculiar animals that I came across is the moth ear mite. What happens is a mite waits on a flower for a moth to come and drink, and then it climbs up the moth's tongue, crawls across the head and into the ear, and then it pierces the tympanic membrane, which is what allows the moth to hear. So at that point, the moth goes deaf. And then the mite lays eggs, and the brother and sister mites copulate with each other. It's a mad, incestuous orgy, all going on within the inner ear of the moth. And indeed, I mean, some of the same sort of thing may go on in humans. Humans have mites that live in their eyelash follicles, and they are certainly copulating within the eyelash follicle.
What example in the animal world do you think humans can learn the most from?
If you sort of say, well, what animal would it be most fun to be if sexual gratification were what you were after? I think I'd go for the dolphin. The Atlantic bottlenose dolphin has been recorded trying to have sex with sharks, turtles, seals, eels, and even the occasional human. I think the dolphins would be my vote for most sexually liberated organism.
Olivia Judson is author of Dr. Tatiana's Sex Advice to All Creation. Dr. Tatiana, thanks for taking this time with me today.
Thank you very much indeed.
For more about an insect that just can't get enough, go to our website at loe.org.